Greetings. Isn't God good? I don't need this here. Whew. Sorry about that. How y'all doing? Were you hearing the Lord through the worship and what God was doing? Anybody been experiencing any spiritual warfare? Hallelujah. Greetings. Hi, Jose. And Vicky. Hallelujah. Well, I'll tell you, I'm very excited about our upcoming conference in September on spiritual warfare, because I hope you're seeing what's going on with spiritual eyes. I know a lot of people are looking with the natural eyes, and they're drawing all kinds of conclusions, and there's all kinds of stuff they're being said, but there's something God's doing, and we should be seeing it with our spiritual eyes. And a lot of what we were singing this morning as I was writing it down was about seeing. Did you notice that? Show us, you know. Let us see. And then Jess was sharing something about suddenly. God is going to be moving, and he does everything suddenly. And it's like we wait, and then all of a sudden, suddenly he does something. And we wonder about it. And the thing that he said that I thought was amazing, do you perceive it? How many are seeing what God is doing? Yeah. Okay. Well, I want to talk about that this morning. I want to talk about seeing God in what's going on around us, even in our manifest circumstances. Hallelujah. Turn to Habakkuk 2. Some say Habakkuk. I say Habakkuk. How do you say it, Don? Yeah, right. Forget that. Habakkuk. Turn to Habakkuk. Habakkuk 2. It's right after Nahum. It's right before Zephaniah. Habakkuk. You don't hear a lot from these guys, but we should. It says in Habakkuk 2, verse 1, I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart, and I'll keep watch to see what he will speak to me. Hallelujah. I will keep watch to see what he will speak. Hallelujah. How does one see what God is saying? Good question, eh? And yet he says that he wants us to position ourselves to see what he's doing, because in what he is doing, he is speaking. If we're listening, if we're looking. Didn't Jesus say, watch and pray? Watch for what? Come on, watch and pray. It's very important to understand exactly what is going on. God is speaking. And some are just not listening. They're waiting for a specific word somehow. And yet he's speaking. Watch and pray. Turn to 1 John 5 for a minute and put a piece of paper in Habakkuk 2, because we're going to go back and forth. But I want you to turn to 1 John 5. Starting with verse 13. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. Do you know it? Yeah. Amen. And this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. Do we know that? As we pray, God is answering. Are we seeing it? That's the question. Hallelujah. Looking for the answer. We can only do that if we know it will come. When we don't, and we're up and down and up and down and up and down, we don't know that yet. We think we know it, but we don't really know it. Okay, but God wants us to know it. Hallelujah. It's so important to know him. It says, in the last days, the people who know their God shall display strength and do action. Because they know what God is doing. They're seeing it. We're praying, let thy kingdom come here on earth like it is in heaven. It's here. We're representing it. Hallelujah. And his will be done here on earth. We hear by the word of God. We hear by the still small voice of the Lord in our inner being. We hear through prophecy. We hear through the gifts. We hear through a prophetic word. We hear through dreams. We hear through visions. But we also hear through manifest circumstances and what he is doing if we're looking for it. Station ourselves, position ourselves to see what he is saying. Hallelujah. And how we might respond. I was thinking when Jess was giving the last word, will you perceive it? I was thinking of Isaiah 43:19, where the Lord says to Isaiah, I'm about to do something new. I've already begun. Do you see it? That's what he said. Wow. So let's ask the Lord to help us to learn to see what he is speaking, rather than getting all upset because he's not doing what we want him to do, or the way we want him to do it, or how he should do it. You know. So let's take a minute. Lord, we just pray right now in the name of Jesus. We pray, God, that a spirit of revelation and wisdom will come upon us this morning. Hallelujah. Revelation that we might see something that maybe we haven't seen before. And wisdom to know what to do with what you show us. So God, we pray. We just don't want to hear a sermon. We just don't want to hear something, God. We want to know what you're saying. And we want to see it. Hallelujah. In such a powerful way, God. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for it. I know you're going to do it. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Back to Habakkuk 2. Or Habakkuk. Hallelujah. I will station myself on my rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will speak to me and how I may reply when I am reproved. Then the Lord answered, and he said, record the vision, inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it will certainly come. It will not delay. Behold, as far as the proud one, his soul's not right within him. But the righteous one will live by his faith. Hallelujah. Positioning ourselves to hear and see are a key to recognizing what God is saying during our time here on earth. Turn to, put that paper back, and turn to Ephesians 5. Starting with verse 14. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and Christ will shine on you. Saying, wake up. Isn't that funny? He's writing to a church. He's not writing to the lost. He's writing to the church in Ephesus. And he says, awake, sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise. Make the most of your time, because the days are evil. Don't be foolish. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Isn't that good? He said, therefore, be careful how you walk. Not as wise, but wise. He said, but being wise, making the most of your time. That word is exegorazo. Making the most of your time. Some translations say, redeem for yourself this time. Some say, buy up for yourselves this time. This particular epoch of time. That word for time is not chronos. It's not a succession of time. It's kairos. It's a particular epoch of time. I don't know what happened up to 1946. I know what the books say. I know what teachers tell us. But I can tell you from 1946 to today, because I was birthed into this particular epoch of time. Don't get your calculators out. That means I'm 78. Okay, but I've been birthed into this particular epoch of time, and so have you. This is our particular epoch of time. Right now, what we're in. This is our time. You can talk about the past, you can hope for the future, but what are you doing in this particular epoch of time? This is our time. See, dead folks have no idea what's going on around them. Think about that. He says, wake, sleepers. This is our watch. Just as Habakkuk embraced what was going on during his particular epoch of time. Hallelujah. Habakkuk was birthed into that particular epoch of time. In fact, if you study both Habakkuk and Zephaniah, only prophesied during the reign of Josiah. Nahum prophesied before that in their time, but he prophesied to Nineveh. And Nineveh, okay, was the capital of Assyria, and they were already in captivity. But Habakkuk and Zephaniah were prophesying in their particular epoch of time to Josiah. And Josiah came in and became king when he was 8 years, and he reigned for 31 years under the tutelage of Zephaniah and Habakkuk. And Hilkiah, who found the book of the law. Isn't that amazing? And so Habakkuk positioned himself. Aren't you glad he took notes? Don't you see how important it is to keep a journal? How important it is to write down what God is speaking to you, what your prayers are, what you're hearing in church, okay? And then you go on and a day turns into a week and it turns into a month, and then all of a sudden you begin to see God doing something. Then write in a different color ink, write what he just fulfilled. And all of a sudden, as time moves on and you go back through your journals, you can see all the answers to prayer. He may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's the only one that sees the end from the beginning. But he reveals to us, to those who are seeking. He said, if you seek me with all your heart, I'll let you find me. He's not too far off. He's a very present help in the time of need. Hallelujah. I know he's there when I feel him and when I don't. I know he's there when he's changing the things I want him to and when he's not. I still know he's there. I still know he's in control. I still know his kingdom is there and something's happening. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Are we back at Habakkuk yet? Let's get back there. Habakkuk prophesied along with Zephaniah. And of course, Jeremiah prophesied a little bit during that particular time too. But the guys that had the biggest impact on that particular epoch of time was Habakkuk and Zephaniah. Only for Josiah. Isn't that amazing? During his 31 years. During his particular epoch of time. If you want to read the story about Josiah, Write this down. 2 Kings chapter 22 and chapter 23. And you can read about him from 8 years old on. Or read about him in 2 Chronicles 34 and 2 Chronicles 35. And as you begin to compare Zephaniah and Habakkuk, you'll see that Zephaniah ministered at the beginning of his reign when Josiah was 8 years old. And as Josiah became king, and before the great reform that was going to begin to come. And so Zephaniah worked with Josiah from 8 until he was 18 years old. From 640 B.C. until 622 B.C. And there was Zephaniah. And then Hilkiah finds the book of the law. And all of a sudden it starts making changes in their life. And Habakkuk was instrumental in guiding King Josiah through the implementing of the incredible reform which he brought from 622 through 609 B.C. Both of these prophets saw what God wanted to do, revealed it to the nation, and were used incredibly during this king's reign, which brought reform to Judah. Isn't that cool? Habakkuk and Zephaniah, spirit and truth, working together. Wow. Habakkuk saw the condition and journaled what he saw. He prophesied the answer. He saw what was happening. He wrote it down under the Lord's direction. Then he prophesied it till it happened. I'm so glad he journaled. I'll tell you, when you read through the Gospels, aren't you glad that four guys, you know, journaled what they saw Jesus saying? Aren't you glad that Luke followed him around and chronicled Acts? Aren't you glad they wrote letters to different people in different churches? It was important to listen and apply and see what God was saying. Hallelujah. He can speak in the moment. He can speak right away and change. Well, he's already speaking. Are we seeing it? That's the question. Oh boy. You write what you think you're seeing, and then you find it in the Word of God. We've had this move of the Spirit. We've had a bunch of young people come in, and they all came in at once, it seemed like, in different situations. And I started a discipleship group with 10 of them. And what I taught them was how to get on the foundation. I didn't take them into a new converts course and fill their heads with knowledge. I brought them into the presence of God and said, learn to hear His voice. That's the foundation. And we did that for a whole year. And the second year I said, okay, now we need to, and I gave them a journal and I told them to write down what they heard God saying and then find scriptures and we have a group text. And so when they were confused or didn't know what was going on, we would all input it and talk. And then the second year we started not only being on the foundation, but now we were building upon the foundation by hearing Him and acting on what He was saying to do. And it's been so exciting to watch these guys grow. The vision the Lord had Habakkuk jot down was the need for reform. And it came in a vision. Record the vision. Inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens toward the goal, and it'll not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it. It will certainly come. It will not delay. Notice there are seven its in verse 2 and 3 and are what he saw. They are what he wrote in his journal. They were what he proclaimed that would change the nation. Do you ever read 1 Timothy 1, 18 through 20, where Paul says, this command I give you, Timothy, that in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you might fight the good fight of faith. Some having rejected, he said, I've turned over to Satan, Hymenaeus and Alexander, to teach not to blaspheme. Wow, you don't think it's important to write down and to remember? Well, God, I have every prophetic word that has ever been given to me. And I have them in a big file. And it didn't matter who they came through. Oh, there was one by Laddie McDonough. I'll save that one. I wrote them all down. I saved them all. Because God can speak through anybody, in any time, and anywhere. And do you believe it? And do you care? You know? Hallelujah. Or do you consider other people more important than other people? Shame on us if we do that. God's speaking through anybody. I want to hear it. And I go back and I read through them. And I'm amazed at prophecies that were given to me. And then years later, I came into them. And are still coming into them. But what had happened if I had thrown away and forgot them? God had been speaking. And I'd go on about my life and never remember. What a shame. You go back and you read it and you're like, wow. Way before I ever left Laconia, New Hampshire, God said I was going to go places. And I would circle the globe and go to all these different places. Before I went anywhere. And then he began to do it. Then you go back and see. And it's like, wow. The change would require watching, writing down what the Lord was saying, and walking by faith while he was being realized and unfolded by the Holy Spirit. Wow. With this revelation and vision, he said, you could run. He said, when you write it down, it's so you can run. Isn't that amazing? Say, oh men, or oh me. I hope you're journaling. I hope you save these things. I hope you're seeing what God is saying to you. The key to the entire book of Habakkuk, in fact, the key to unlock even the vision was in verse 4. In verse 4, he says, the righteous will live by faith. He'll live by it. He'll live by his faith. How many times did Jesus say, how come you don't have any faith? And they were with him. Remember the boat and the storm? He was blowing Z's at the stern. And they woke him up. Don't you care? Don't you care about me, Jesus? Don't you care we're perishing? Jesus went, what? Be calm, be still. Where's your faith? He had told them they're going to the other side. They should have wrote it down. What God was revealing to Habakkuk was going to require faith. And so as he wrote it down, Habakkuk began to implement it. When they found Hilkiah found the word, Josiah began to ask questions, they began to implement it. Josiah began to make these great changes in his life and in the nation. Not a momentary faith, but a life of faith. Not faith in faith. Faith in him. Faith in what he said. Faith in what he's showing you. And that was for their particular epoch of time. And there was a king that came after him that was terrible and things went away. But for that particular epoch of time, they saw great change and things happening. The way Habakkuk walked by faith in his epoch of time gave revelation to a man named Martin Luther. Martin Luther read the phrase, the righteous shall live by his faith. When he read that, it brought a great reformation in the 15th century. As he began to apply it, began to walk in it, came out of the Catholic Church, began to change what he could change at that particular time in his life. And everything began to change. Brought reform in his particular epoch of time. Just like Habakkuk. Just like Zephaniah during Josiah's time. This verse was a key to the Apostle Paul as he came out of the religious system. Turn to, keep your paper in there, turn to Romans, the first chapter. Are we okay? Romans 1. This was a verse, it was a key to the Apostle Paul, came out of the religious system in his particular epoch of time, and he wrote Romans 1, and he was saying, let's start at verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Talked about the process from faith to faith. That's how we grow. As it is written, the righteous man shall live by his faith. Wow. It changed Paul's life. It impacted his particular epoch of time. And I'm so glad it did. And I'm glad he wrote, hey, he kept notes. And I'm glad he wrote to the different churches he was involved in. And I'm glad he talked about his own struggles and the things that he went through, even from prison. To even say, oh, that I might know him. And the fellowship of his sufferings. Being conformed to his death that I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Turn to Galatians 3. Paul used this verse in Galatians 3 as legalism was trying to come into the Galatia region. Judaizers were coming in and telling the church, the representation of God's kingdom coming to the earth at that time. They began telling them, you know, you got to circumcise your kids to be saved. And Paul said in chapter 3, verse 1, you foolish Galatians, who bewitched you? That word bewitched is only used once in the Bible. And it's used there. Who bewitched you? And the word baskaino means to traduce. Traduce means to tell lies to slander. The word means to bring evil upon, to cast a spell upon. Who tricked you? Who cast a spell on you? You whose eyes, Jesus Christ, was publicly portrayed as crucified. It's the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing by faith? Are you foolish? Have you begun the Spirit or now you're being perfected in the flesh? Oh my gosh. He goes down in verse 10. He says, for as many as are the works of the law, you're under a curse. But it's written, cursed is everyone who doesn't abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Now, that no one is justified by the law before God is evident. For the righteous man shall live by his faith. Isn't that good? This whole age that we're in is characterized by a hurried spirit. Consume the individuals. Get them all caught up in everything, whether it's a job or on the web or watching TV all the time. They're consumed by it. And Daniel warned us in Daniel 7, verse 25, that in the last days the enemy would seek to wear down the saints of the Most High God. How many believe we're in the last times? You feeling kind of worn out? Hallelujah. Well, it's a plan of the enemy. And yet, just parallel that, right next to it, Isaiah 28:16. We heard about the stone this morning, is that right? And it says in Isaiah 28:16, behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone, a tested cornerstone. He who believes in it will not be in a hurry. And so even though the enemy is trying to wear down the saints of the Most High, God says those that are on the foundation will not be in a hurry. So you're either being led by the Spirit or driven by the spirit of this age. Only you can decide where you're at in that. Are you being led or driven? The whole age is characterized by instant gratification. Instant results. We want it now. And that tries to influence the church. And if it doesn't come right away, we feel God let us down. Say amen or oh me. See, Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and then the evidence of things not seen. So faith should have substance. There should be substance in our faith. Not faith in faith. This is what God said. This is what God is doing. And I believe it, even though I don't see it happening yet. And I'm going to station myself, and I'm going to watch, and I'm going to start putting the pieces together. And all of a sudden, God's speaking. Doesn't eliminate the fact that he speaks through the prophetic or speaks to your heart or speaks through the word. I'm not eliminating any of that. But I am saying we're missing something very important when we don't see God in the manifest circumstances. As if the devil is greater than God. He is not. He has been defeated. Okay? We have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into his light. So we should be. I saw a scripture this morning up there about God being light. I'll look for the light. I look for the light even in the darkness. I look for the light in the midst of whatever's going on. And then all of a sudden you start, you know, you start seeing and you start telling people and you start seeing these things happening. And people come up, oh boy, I wish it worked for me. Look for it. It happens for anybody. God's not a respecter of persons. Look for it. It's a key to seeing what God is saying to all that's taking a place. Around. Let me give you a couple examples. Aren't you glad the guys changed it so we weren't meeting out there in the rain? Yeah. We've done that before, remember? My notes were blown all over the place. Could you get me page 3? Remember Isaiah? And maybe we better look at it. Turn to Isaiah 6. Keep your page in Hosea. And we've looked at this before, I know. But I don't want you to think I'm making it up. In Isaiah 6, it says, in the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne. I saw it. How did he see it? Lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him. Each having 6 wings, with 2 he covered his face, with 2 he covered his feet, with 2 he flew. And one called out to the other one and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Do you see it? Didn't we hear that this morning? Were you hearing? Were you seeing? Look around. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Look at the glory that's here. The glory is the character of God. That which God has been investing in you day after day, when a day turned into a week, turned into a month, turned into a year, turned into 10 years, turned into a decade, turned into a lifestyle. Look at how different you are from when you first got saved. It's the glory of God filling the earth. Only God can do that. Wow. And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out while the temple was filling with smoke. Isaiah just finished his 6th woe sermon. Then he got his 7th. Yeah, you can see it in the chapter before. Woe is me in doing this. Woe are you if you do this. Woe, woe, woe. And he got in the presence of the Lord and he said, woe is me! Verse 5. I'm ruined! I'm a man of unclean lips. What? A prophet? With unclean lips? That's a miracle that he wasn't a smoke ring. Secondly, it's a miracle that he was in the presence of God, which only the high priest was supposed to be able to go in. So some commentaries say, well, he must have been a high priest. Well, he doesn't say he was a high priest. You're making an assumption. But I know he was a prophet. And I know He saw, because he wrote it down. King Uzziah died. Who's going to be the next king? And would he like me? I better see God. He saw God, and he looked and he saw what was going on. The earth is filled. Man, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. Here's a prophet, an Old Testament prophet, standing in a New Testament experience. In the very presence of God. And all of a sudden, here comes this seraphim. Touches his lips with a coal. How'd you like that to happen? He said, verse 6, and one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he'd taken from the altar, and he touched my mouth with it. He said, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, your sins forgiven. A New Testament experience. And then he heard God say, gee, I wonder who'll go for us. Read it. Now, as far as I know, there's only God, a few seraphim, and Isaiah. But Isaiah finds his hand going up. Oh, I'll go. I wonder who'll go for us. There's a good picture of the Trinity. Who will go for us? Whom shall I send? Isaiah said, I'll go. Send me. And he said, all right, go. He said, what will my message be? He said, here's your message. Tell those people, keep on listening, but don't perceive. Keep on looking, but don't understand. Render the hearts of this people insensitive, their ears dull, their eyes dim, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn again, and I heal them. Wow. Turn to Matthew 13. There's a guy that saw what God was saying in his particular epoch of time. And you know what? From that point on, all throughout the book of Isaiah, there's more prophecies concerning the coming of the Messiah than in any other Old Testament book in the Bible. When you see what God is doing, when you see what God is saying, it changes your life forever. In Matthew 13, Jesus talks about the sower. We've all heard it. The four different ground that the good seed falls upon. And then he sits down. And his disciples come up to him and say, what did you mean by that? Verse 10, his disciples came to him and said, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered, to you has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Them it's not been granted. Mark says in Mark 4:13, do you understand this parable? How will you understand any of them? This was a key to unlocking revelation into all the parables. And he says in verse 12, whoever has, to him shall more be given, and he'll have an abundance. And whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away. It's progressive. Use what God gives you, and he'll give you more. But if you don't use it, you lose it. So verse 13, he says, therefore I speak to them parables. While seeing, they don't see. And while hearing, they don't hear. Nor do they understand. The word for understand is pseudomai. It means it comes together for them. And in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah that I just read you is being fulfilled, which says you'll keep on hearing but won't understand. You will keep on seeing but you won't perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. And with their ears, they scarcely hear, and they've closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and it come together for them in their heart, and they turn again, and I heal them. That word, epistrepho, means to turn again, is the same word that Jesus used when Peter said, I'll never deny you. Remember? And what did the Lord say? Yeah, I know. When you epistrepho, strengthen your brothers. When you turn again, strengthen your brothers. Isn't that good? Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see. They didn't see it. And to hear what you hear. They didn't hear it. Wow. What a privilege we have. Jesus was saying, if you see what he's doing, it'll change your life too. It gives you vision. You must have eyes to see. This is not about going in somewhere and having some man telling you what his vision is and expecting everybody to do what he tells you to do. That's stupid. Sorry. Tell us, Owen, how you feel. It's what is his vision? I've had people come up to me and say, Owen, what is your vision and what is the vision of your church? And I've said to them, who cares what my vision is? And let me ask you a question. What is God's vision? And how are you coming into it as an individual, and how are you coming into it as a church? It's not about taking a bunch of verses and making it say what you want to say. Say amen or oh me. Jesus was saying, if you see what he's doing, it'll change your life. It'll give you vision. You have to eyes to see it. You have to be all in. And we talk about being all in, that's why. When you're all in, you're stationed. You're positioned. You're looking. You're waiting. It's not you just come to church on Sunday. That's not being all in. That's being part in. Everything that God is speaking to the church and that we're doing, we need everybody. When God speaks to us as a church, that I'm going to do an outreach, we don't need three people to show up. We need everybody. We just had an outreach, you know, and we told the church, listen, this is what God's saying. If you don't believe it, then tell us what he's saying. Rebuke us. But if he's saying it, then we need you. And people show up and we do it. Then people come and say, how do you do it? We obey God. We see what he's telling us to do and we do it. Isn't that good? Not everybody will like it. Most can't wait for the fulfillment. And either try to make it happen or to give up on it. That's not faith. Peter, I'll never deny you. But he did. He turned. God forgave him. And he strengthened his brothers. He learned from that experience. When his wife was being burned at the stake, Peter was found to say, don't give up the faith! Don't give up the faith! The guy that denied the Lord. Weren't you with the Lord? Not me. Might have been my twin brother. Wouldn't be. Three times. When we adjust our lifestyle, everything changes. This is not about visiting God once a week. And if we're real spiritual, twice. If we go to a home meeting. And if we're super spiritual, maybe to a prayer meeting. It's how you live your life day in and day out. Is he central? Are you eagerly seeking what he wants? Are you writing it down? Are you trying to find it? Hallelujah. The enemy comes in. Why do you think a lot of times he tries to take us out? And all of a sudden, like the man at the pool of Bethesda that we talked about one of the times I was here. And Jesus asked him, do you want to get well? He was like, nobody will put me in the water. Jesus said, I'll put you in the water. He said, get up. And the guy got up and found himself healed. Later, he saw the Lord in the temple. And the Lord said, oh, I see that you're healed. Don't sin anymore. What was his sin? He was drawing his identity from his affliction. And when Jesus saw that, he said, that's not going to get you healed. We draw identity from Jesus Christ. And when we do that, we don't let whatever that is take us out. We continue to press on to know the Lord. Every day is a great day with the Lord. And I'll tell you, as you adjust your lifestyle, everything changes. And you get blessed when you go to a meeting if you only come once. That's not the kingdom. That's just a piece of the kingdom. You go to a home meeting, that's not the kingdom, it's a piece of the kingdom. Prayer meeting is a piece of the kingdom. My time with Jesus is a piece. The more you are in, the more the pieces come together. The more you see what God is saying. So cool. Look at Psalm 114 for a minute. We weren't going anywhere today because it's raining. How long are you going to be? I don't know. Psalm 114. It's an interesting psalm. And I'll read it quickly. When Israel went forth from Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of a strange language, Judah became his sanctuary, Israel his dominion. The sea looked and fled. The Jordan turned back. The mountains skipped like rams. The hills like lambs. The writer says, what ails you, O sea, that you flee? He's saying, what caused the sea to turn? O Jordan, that you turn back. What caused the Jordan to open up and allow him to go through to the promised land? O mountains that you skip like rams, Sinai. O hills like lambs. Then he gives the answer. Tremble, O earth, before the Lord, before the God of Jacob. He turned the rock into a pool of water and flint into a fountain of water. All creation is designed to respond at the presence of God. That's what he's talking about. God is not looking for our applause. He's waiting for us to embrace him and to respond to what he's saying. God, hallelujah, you may not come when I want you, but you're always on time. I know it. I'm going to follow you. And if I follow you to the death, so be it. That's why Job said, even though he slay me, still I will serve him. Turn to Proverbs 29. I'm almost done, believe it or not. Why are you laughing, Don? He knows me too well. Proverbs 29. Verse 18, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. That word for vision can also be read where there is no revelation. The people are unrestrained. You think revelation is important? It says it's supposed to be happening in our gatherings. In 1 Corinthians, it said that people are prophesying and praying for the sick. Things are going on. And it said, oh, and if somebody has a revelation, everybody should shut up for a minute. That's how important revelation is. God showing somebody something. It's part of the whole. Is it important? Oh, yeah, but it's coming through. Oh. Do you hear me? Proverbs 20. You know, 29:18, where there is no revelation, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. A bondservant will not be instructed by words alone, for though they understand, there will be no response. God is not after our applause. He's after our hearts, our response. All creation has been designed to respond to him. All right, Hebrews 10. I know some of this may be challenging some theology. Hebrews 10. Starting verse 35. Therefore, don't throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance. So when you've done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. And now he begins to quote Habakkuk. Except he takes away the it and he adds a different word. He says, for yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come. The it becomes a he. He who is coming will come and will not delay. And my righteous one will live by his faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. We are not those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the possessing of the soul, of the psyche. Isn't that good? As he watched, he journaled, the writer of Hebrews. There's a lot of debate of who that was. But as he watched, he journaled. And as he journaled, he proclaimed his coming again and that we must live by faith. What he saw happening was the message. The Lord was speaking through him that Jesus is coming again. Amen? Do we believe it? All right, Luke 24 for the last one. Luke 24. We all know the story. The guy on the road to Emmaus. The two guys. Luke 24. Starting at verse 13. And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which is about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Can you imagine walking 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus? It was a common occurrence for them. Oh, man, you mean we have to go a mile? 7 miles. And they were conversing with each other. Had a lot of time to talk. And they were conversing with each other about the things which had taken place. And it came about that while they were conversing and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them. Their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He said to them, yeah, what are these words that you guys are exchanging with one another as you're walking? And they stood still, looking sad. And one of them, named Cleopas, answered and he said, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here in these days? Are you kidding me? He was the only one that really did know what was going on. Are you the only one that and he said to him, hey, what things? they said to him, well, the things about Jesus the Nazarene. He was a prophet, mighty in deed and word in the sight of God and the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him up for the sons of death. They crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who is going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it's the third day since these things happened. And there are some women among us. They amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and they didn't find his body, and they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb, and we found it just exactly as the women had said. but him they didn't see. And Jesus said, oh, foolish men, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into glory? And beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. Have you noticed that all throughout the Bible there's a scarlet thread that's talking about the coming of Messiah? Any book you pick, you should be able to find it. And he starts breaking it out in all the different scriptures. And he explained to them the things concerning himself. And they approached the village where they were going. They approached Emmaus. And he acted like he was going to go farther. I can still see him now. All right, see you guys later. Why? Said he acted like he was going to go. Why? And they urged him, saying, stay with us. God wants us to want him. Remember Moses? Goes by that burning bush. And he says, wow, look at that, a bush. It's not consumed. I must turn aside to this and see. And it says, as the Lord saw Moses turn, the Lord spoke. They said to him, stay with us. It's getting toward evening, and the day is now nearly over. And he went in to stay with them. And it came about when they had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and he broke it, and he began giving it to them. And their eyes were opened. Their eyes were opened. And they recognized him. And he vanished. Poof. I'd like to have dinner there. We had dinner Friday night with the Skodas and Don. Well, what would you all have thought? We were all there eating with, and Jesus was there eating with, all of a sudden he, all right, see you later. Where'd he go? Their eyes were open, they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight, and they said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? And they arose that very hour and returned to Jerusalem, another 7 miles. And they found gathered together the 11 and those who were with them. And they come walking in the room and say, the Lord really did rise. It happened. And they began to relate their experience on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. Whenever there's a breaking, there's a revelation. I'm telling you, whenever there's a breaking and you're going through something, look for the revelation. God's got something to show you. He doesn't like to torment and torture us. He's got a revelation. It's going to contribute to the whole of what God is saying and doing. And while they were telling these things, he himself stood in their midst. And they were startled and frightened and thought they were seeing a spirit. And he said, what are you troubled about? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands, my feet? It's me, myself. Touch me. See, spirit doesn't have flesh. Bones are bones, as you see I have. He showed him his hands and feet. While they could not believe it for joy and marveling, he said to them, you got anything to eat? Oh, we got some broiled fish. You mind if I have a piece? Thanks. Can you imagine? What's going on? What? And he took it and he ate it. Then he said to him, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and Psalms must be fulfilled. And he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem, your witnesses. And behold, I'm sending you forth. I'm sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. You're to stay in the city until you clothe with power on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them, and came about while he was blessing them. He parted. Let's take a minute. Just close your eyes for a second. Whenever there's a breaking, there's a revelation. Are you looking for it? God is moving all across this land, and he's speaking. Are you hearing it? Are you trying to line up what you hear with your theology or your concept of him? Just when you put God in a box, I'm telling you, I've seen over the years, just when people figure they got him all figured out and in a box, he busts out of the box. God is not limited. We limit God, but God is not limited. Lord, I pray, give us eyes to see. When you tell us to watch and pray, God, teach us how to look for what you're doing. Hallelujah. As you move across the land, as you move in our family, as you move in our individual life, what are you saying, God? Hallelujah. As we go through the breaking, what are you saying, Lord? Hallelujah. Give us that revelation. We cry out unto you, give us the revelation that we need to see. Hallelujah. In the midst of what we're going through, God. May it line up with the other things that you've said and done. I pray, God, that there would come a change. I pray if you knew the scripture, the righteous shall live by faith, but you've kind of pulled back from that, or it's been hard to believe because of what you're going through, just put your hand up for a minute. Our eyes are closed. Nobody's going to judge you. If that's you, I want you to put your hand up for a minute. Sure. Yeah. Anybody else? Be honest. Hallelujah. Yeah. Okay, you can put your hand down. Lord, you saw our heart. We ask you, God, to help us. Help us to have those eyes you said we're supposed to see, have to see. Help us to have those ears to listen to what you're saying. Help us to have hearts to comprehend what you're saying. So that we can speak a different language. That we can talk about what you're doing, not about what the devil is doing. We can talk about what you're doing in our lives and not the enemy. Our circumstances. We can talk about what you're saying to us in the midst of what we're going through. Lord, thank you. You're doing a new thing. It's already begun. Help us to be aware of it. Help us to see it. Help us to join you in what you're doing, oh God. Your kingdom is coming. Your kingdom is here. Just like it is in heaven. Your will is being accomplished. Just like it is in heaven. Help us participate in it. Help us be part of that, God. So that we have something to proclaim to the whole of what you're saying and doing. And Lord, we thank you for it. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. There's no condemnation. Hallelujah. Just rise up and move beyond where you are. And start going forward in what God is speaking. Hallelujah. God is so good. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Isn't God good?